Today's episode is brought to you by the Strand Tennis Center. Located just 40 minutes outside of Manhattan, the Strand is the tennis brainchild of owner Stephen Capo, and it's my favorite facility to sweat, learn, and have fun while playing tennis. Follow the Strand on Instagram or Twitter at Strand Tennis for more information.
Please take your seats quickly, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
I mean, they always have a big mouth. They always talk a lot. So it happened before, it's going to happen again.
Hello, amazing, fantastic tennis fans. I'm John Garica, and I'm so glad you're hanging with me today to talk about this crazy, unpredictable, and at most times bonkers Wimbledon. I'm joined today by two friends of the pod that have done the show and are back to talk some tennis with me. In New York City, it's Max Markham. Hey, Max.
Hey, what's up, pod friends?
And out west in Scottsdale, Arizona, it's Jonas Sobel. Hi, Jonah.
Hey, John. So happy to be here.
First, I do want to say I'm exhausted today, and I don't know if it's because of Wimbledon, and I shouldn't be because tennis is on when I wake up in the morning, so it shouldn't be that. I'm not staying up late. It's not Australia, but I've been packing. I'm moving, and so this is the last show in this apartment, so this is like a big deal for me, so thanks for being here today.
Of course. It's your house cooling podcast, right? Then we have to have a housewarming podcast.
We do, but there were so many memories here. This whole show started here, actually. I mean, that's how I met you, Jonah, in this house on Zoom. That's how I met you. This is like, it's kind of nostalgic for me today.
Oh my God, to think about all the Zoom Quarren trivias you did with all the tacky things behind you.
Amazing.
It's incredible.
I know. I never really talked about Quarren trivia on the show and how this podcast started, but we've talked about it a couple times. But back in 2020, when, you know, the world was falling apart, I just literally messaged players randomly and decided to have their biggest fans jump on a Zoom call and come on. And we did this like really fun game and a question and answer. And it was so fun. And it was such a great way to bridge the world. I know in Vika Azarenka's call, there was probably like 100 people. And we're just like, I don't know. It was just so fun getting to meet people from all over the world and getting to ask questions. And it was so cool that players like Vika and Lindsay Davenport and Danielle Collins and Jen Brady and Jessica Pegula, all these great players, like it was really fun. So
it was such a highlight for such a crap time, you know, like we were all going through it, and to be able to have that where we got to get on Zoom together and kind of meet new people. We weren't even like seeing our own families because we're afraid of killing them, right? So it was incredible. Hats off to you for being the genius behind doing all that.
It was just, I don't know. I mean, I think we're all tennis fans. Obviously, if you're listening right now out there, you love tennis like the three of us do. And you know, to have players really stop and take the time and get to know their fans and really, you know, want their fans to kind of get to know them, I think that's a testament to why we are listening and why we watch tennis and why we follow these great players. Like we all have these interesting, strange pocket players, I like to call them, that we just love, that are just so strange. Jonah, your list is so long. I love your list of little pockets. You just put your little favorite in your pocket. And I don't know, it's just so cool. So anybody out there listening, thanks for listening today. And however you found the show, or if this is the first time you're listening, go back and listen to some of these great episodes. We're about to do our 50th player episode next week. I'm so excited. I can't believe it. It's been 50 players already. But there's some great stories behind what they've done in their careers. So again, thank you. Thank you both for joining today. It's going to be so fun to talk about Wimbledon. Let's kind of get into it, because I'm really just kind of sad it's over, but also ready for the hard court season. Like I have a lot of mixed emotions today with this women's final. So this is the format today. I want to talk about Wimbledon in stages, because I was actually there this past week. Like last week I was at Wimbledon.
Like, can you believe that? We really need, there's so much, like there's not enough time on this podcast to debrief. I have so many questions for you. I want to get all the tea. I don't want to hear about Serena because it makes me die inside. But of course I want to hear about Serena. So we got to get to that. Oh my God.
Well, I'll work backwards, because I snuck into center court and it was, I don't know. I had been there a few days earlier because I got there before the tournament started, and I got to see center court when it was completely empty and all the players are like taking their selfies and they'd walk out, and it was so cute. But I got to be there for the Serena match, and it was euphoric to be out there and just so excited to see Serena, and confusing. I don't know. It was just like, I couldn't believe it was her that I was watching, kind of. Then to be there all night long and then have her lose, it was gut wrenching. And to take the tube all the way back to the hotel, it was one of the saddest tennis moments I think I've had. It was just, I don't know. Everyone left the stadium so sad. Like no one was really excited. Like you have this great player who just upset the GOAT, and it was crazy. But
so much disharmony.
There was. I told Max too, because I saw him for 4th of July, and I was sitting next to Harmony Tan and her parents in the player lounge. Okay, wait, let me just preface by saying I had the most amazing invitation from Madison Brengel.
What a queen.
Who is a great friend of mine. I love her so much. She's so cool. So she invited me to go to Wimbledon, and I have this crazy unicorn player badge that gets me into everything and a fan dream come true. So I'm walking around with this badge and I'm seeing the day I get there. It's Mary Pierce, you know, it's Rafa and it's Novak, and it's all these players that you're just like, wow. I mean,
can you imagine telling little baby John Garica in Tampa, age 12, who would like drool over, you know, all these people, that he would be in the players lounge? Like that truly is like a wild full circle moment.
It's amazing.
I can't thank Madison enough. She made my tennis dream come true, really. I mean, to be able to go to Wimbledon and to have all access, she took me to the player tunnel or it's underground, where you go from the practice courts to the main courts so that you don't have to walk through the crowds. And there's all these great pictures and these great moments in Wimbledon history. And it was so cool. The practice courts, you know, I'm on the practice courts while she's practicing, and we're next to Sloane Stephens and Garbiñe Muguruza and all these great Grand Slam champions. And I'm right next to them on court, grabbing balls and helping Madison. And it was pretty special, really. It was, and it wasn't lost on me for sure. It was really cool. But one of the moments really was at the practice courts. I'm watching everyone play, and I see in the corner, it's Venus Williams. This was Monday. And I'm like, what is Venus doing on the practice courts? And I text both of you. I text a photo and I'm like, guys, Venus is on the practice court. Like, it's happening. She's going to play. And her and her coach, Eric, you know, they were ushering cameras away. They're like, no, she doesn't want to be photographed. She's just getting back on the court. And I had already snapped photos, so I felt really bad, but I stopped after that. But it was so cool. And I was like, okay, this is like, I'm in the nitty gritty. Like, this was very, very cool. So thank you, Madison Brengel. I can never repay you for those experiences that I had. I had lunch next to Rafael Nadal last Monday. Like, I'm in the player lounge, I'm eating, watching court three, and he's like right next to me with his team. And I'm just like, yeah, this is pretty cool. This is really, really cool. Got to see a lot of the players who've done the show. Gabby Dabrowski, so cool. Jess Pegula, Elise Cornet.
You had to drop that in because you weren't a bad luck charm, because she beat the undefeated GOAT right now. Yeah. 6-3, 6-2, or whatever it was against Cornet. But we'll get into that later.
We'll get into that. But yeah, so I was there this past week. It was so fantastic. It was before the tournament started, took so many photos, and I'll never forget it. So when I'm talking about the tournament this week, I was like, wow, I was there. I was like, you know, I was having fun hanging out. So with you guys, I would love to get your take, because, you know, it was a crazy 2 weeks, and I just think we really need to break this down. And I'd love to break this down round by round, because there was so much that happened. So I'd love to start in the first round of this tournament. We can talk men's, we can talk women's, we can talk invitational doubles. I mean, Mary Pierce and Goran Ivanišević deserve some love too. I mean, it's my favorite draw every single year. And this was stacked. When you have Aga Radwanska and Jelena Jankovic playing doubles, I mean, we're going to talk about it. So Max, I want to start with you today. We're in the first round. We're back last Monday. Slight rain delay. It's okay. It's cool. I was there in the player lounge while it was raining, and we're playing Uno and hanging out. What was your first round highlight? What was the match that said, okay, this is setting the tone for this tournament?
I think I kind of called this match too. I can't remember, but I love Danielle Collins. I'm happy that she made the final of AO. I mean, she hasn't played super well since then, but like, her wallet's happy. She got that payout. The points don't matter at Wimbledon this year, so it was no sweat off her back. But I was really happy for Buzkova getting that win. And then she backed it up with a deep run. And I feel like a lot of us who follow tennis closely have been waiting for when Buzkova is really going to break through. And it is a bummer she's not getting any points out of this, but she played some fantastic tennis this Wimbledon. I also loved seeing Raducanu have that like stable first round win over Allison, whose last name I can never pronounce.
Van Unfunk.
Right, sure. Because she was playing well, and she's like pretty good on glass. So good for Emma for getting her little first round.
You did say something very important, and I want to talk about it now, because it was really the underlying theme, which we're going to talk about. The Harmony Tans and the Buzkovas of the world. No points, you know?
The Tatiana Marias. Can we talk about Tatiana Maria? That lady, Mama Maria, deserves...
She deserves some wild cards.
Yeah, they got to repay her, because that was the tournament of her life. And she's not got a lot of years left. like no shade, but neither do I, right? If I were a tennis player, but
I'm just happy young Charlotte has her college education paid for now. So there's at least that.
I'd love to see what the semifinal payout was. It was this purse was like the biggest in Wimbledon history. So it's a lot more than college. Charlotte's doing pretty good.
But if you think about it, I hope that they inflated it more because the pound is in the toilet right now and there's no ranking point. So like, come on, we gotta give some incentive. But yeah, I totally like good for her for getting that check.
I know. What would Rybakina be right now? Top five at least, right? Did anyone do the math? I just wonder what she'd even be.
She would be six in the world.
Yeah, there we go. Exactly.
And what is she instead? Like
26. 20? Yeah, probably. Jeez, I know.
That's a big difference, especially in the next Grand Slam seating. Like that's a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get back to the first round. So obviously, completely agree with you. Everyone, I was there on that first day, was Andy and Emma on center court, and everyone's waving the Union Jack, and everyone's super excited, and they both won their first round, and everything was hunky-dory in London on Monday. And so it was a good first round for both of them. Jonah, what was your highlight of the first round?
The highlight for the first round for me was by far Coco Gauff playing against Rusev. First round, it was such an intense match. That 7-5 in the third set was brutal for both players. They had so many chances, so many long deuce games. And Coco Gauff is just a completely different player at Wimbledon. And it's so clear based off of how the crowd interacts with her after every single point. I mean, she is someone that started off her career pretty much at Wimbledon and showed year after year that she loves the grass and the grass loves her.
Yeah. I mean, so interesting. Her run has been, I can't wait to see what she really does in the hard court season, because I mean, the French to Wimbledon, I mean, she's really come into, we've been waiting for this kind of, I don't know, like thrust herself upon the women's tennis tour. And it's happened this year. So no, she's getting deep into the slams, the past couple slams. It's been great, right?
I mean, I remember you saying not that long ago, maybe a few months ago, calling her a future world number one. And I kind of at the time I was like, I mean, I don't necessarily disagree. I think it's going to be a little bit further in the future. I actually thought that her doubles career was more promising right now. I thought she'd clean up with some titles in doubles, but I saw her in one of the first couple rounds. I can't remember who. It wasn't against Rusev. It was against someone else. She was serving like Venus Williams. I mean, it was incredible. It was like, I think she hit like a 121, maybe a 123. Like it was very, very impressive to see the way she's serving. And she's not a big girl. I mean, for a woman, she's decently tall, but she's not Venus Williams height, you know, and she was getting that power.
We were in the player lounge and there was this huge candy jar, and she went to go get candy from the jar. And so I walked over because, you know, I like candy and I like cocoa. So it was a perfect combination for me. I remember thinking, I was kind of like shy when I saw her. I was like, oh, I'm going to go talk to her. And then I was like, oh, I like strawberry candy. Like, I was like, you're so dumb.
I would have embarrassed myself more.
You're so dumb. I was like, what? That's your line. You couldn't say anything about like all the great humanitarian efforts you've done and how, what an inspiration you are to so many people. Oh, you like strawberry candy too?
At least bring up her iconic New Balance photo shoot. Like,
I couldn't. That was all I thought about. Anyway, I'll finish up the first round. It was such a privilege to be at the Serena match, and I really thought that she was going to win that match. I don't think anybody thought she was going to lose. Well, maybe they did. There are some haters out there for sure. It's been exacerbated now with her losing, and a lot of people are like, hang it up. You know, you're too old. Like, absolutely not. It was so great to see the effort and to be there for that. But I will say, there were some interesting first rounds for me. Greet Minnan beating Muguruza was a big surprise for me.
Garbine crying on the court after at love five in the second set on that.
Yeah, I mean, good for Greet. I mean, I love that she gets that moment beating a former Wimbledon champion in the first round. I can't wait to get to know her on a future episode. And also, I was really surprised by Beatrice Haddad-Maia and this great grass run. And it's like this same disappointment. You know, she wins Nottingham, she wins Birmingham, she's getting to the semifinals of Eastbourne. You know, she's seeded now. And we're thinking that she's like this Alison Risk type grass, like monster who's going to beat everybody. She beat Sakari on grass and Halep and Kvitova and Risk on grass. And she lost to Juvan in the first round. So a good player, solid player, but wasn't expecting that. So yeah, first round. Definitely, I feel like the highs of Emma, the lows of Serena, that was kind of where we ended. Murray, you know, winning that first round pretty comfortably. We had Novak. There weren't any major upsets on the men's side, too. So I think we kind of got through day one pretty unscathed. I'd love to start round two. Jonah, I'm going to go with you. We're into the second round now. We're kind of getting a little bit into the nitty-gritty of the tournament. What was your second round highlight?
By far, it was Bianca Andreescu playing against Elena Rybakina. Bianca has had the most difficult draws since her comeback in Stuttgart. She's lost to the eventual champion now at Wimbledon and Bad Omberg. She lost to Bencic at the French Open, who had a great run there, and in the Italian Open, she lost to Iga. So it just shows that, you know, when you come back from injury, it's not always going to, you know, show immediately your efforts that you're putting in, especially if you're a former Grand Slam champ.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I will say I sat courtside cheering on Coco Vandeweghe in the first round against Rybakina. And I'm sitting there in Coco's box and I'm like, come on, Coco, come on. And she's playing so fantastic. The best I've seen her play in many seasons. She was so motivated for the match. The match was so fantastic, really. Probably one of the best matches I watched while I was there. And Rybakina was playing flawless tennis. And I just remember thinking, wow, like this girl is so good. Coco's playing so well and she could not get either of those sets. So yeah, it was really fun to watch. And beating Andreescu was a really great sign that she was going to do well in this tournament for sure. Max, second round for you.
Honestly, that was mine. I had Andreescu like in the at least the fourth, maybe even into the quarters, and she had been playing so well in the tournament immediately before. And quite frankly, I am of the ilk who think that Bianca Andreescu at her best can beat just about anybody else, even at their best on tour.
Okay, so let's talk hard court season then. What are we thinking from Bianca?
I hope she stays healthy. I mean, that's the thing where I'm like, you know, it's always up to her. Like so many of the good players, is it just how they're feeling? But I'd love to see her. She said she's playing Canada, which will be great. I'd love to see that.
And there's a tournament in Granby this year for the first time. So Canada's getting a second WTA tournament finally.
That's an upgrade from their ITF. That's been around for years. That's cool for them.
I'll give a little quick shout. I have like a special place in my heart, especially at Wimbledon, for Heather Watson. And she beat Wong, who I think had just taken out Belinda Bencic in the first round. And I did not expect Heather to come through that. And she did. And, you know, it's Wimbledon's always so happy when she makes it into the second or third round. So I was really happy for her.
No, for sure. And they needed it that day because you had Raducanu going out to Garcia in the second round. And really, the kite just came down from the ground. The lightning hit it. And it was just so sad because she's so beloved. She really, really is. It was just, I've seen Raducanu several times now up close and at tournaments, and I've seen her play, but I've never seen her in London at Wimbledon. And to feel that, the ferociousness of the crowd. I mean, I live in New York City, and Max, I mean, we know what a New York City crowd can do in a match. This crowd loves their players. Cam Nori, the Heather Watsons, the, you know, the Raducanus and the Murrays. I mean, it was really fun to watch the Brits.
It's got to help that most of the British players seem to be like really cute. They're crazy on the eyes.
Yeah. Well, I will say, I thought it was interesting in the second round. Speaking of the Brits, Katie Bolter beat Pliskova, Wimbledon finalist. I mean, that's her kind of huge Grand Slam win. I mean, good for her. I'd love to get to know her a little bit more as well. But Niemeyer beating Kontaveit, the number 2 seed, which in the tournament, Kontaveit hadn't had a great lead up anyway. We weren't expecting really much from Kontaveit, but you know, knowing what she can do, Kontaveit could have won this tournament. Who knows, right? So Niemeyer, really interesting. And to see her getting to the quarters was really kind of cool too. A brand new name, really great player. I think some great things to come for her too. And she played with Petkovic in doubles. So that was kind of fun. So I love this kind of, you know, changing the guards almost.
And they had a 16-14 win.
They did.
In the third set tiebreaker.
They did. I love my Petko. I was at that match too. The Petko and I think she played Golubic. Yeah, tough match. Ugh. Let's go to the third round. You know, we had some great third round matches. A lot of the draw kind of shaped up for some really fun third rounds. And we weren't really expecting Iga Swiatek to go out so early. I mean, she had won pretty handily the first couple rounds. And we thought, okay, well, she's playing still pretty well, even though she hadn't had that much grass tune-up. Cornet.
Good for her. Journey woman extraordinaire, right?
I don't know. I don't think so. I wouldn't call her a journey woman. To beat Serena at Wimbledon, to, you know, to have these great wins. Well, I guess Jill Krabus beat Serena at Wimbledon, so...
How do we get through a podcast without mentioning Jill Krabus?
I mean, okay, fair. We've had some journey women sneak through a Serena Williams draw, I guess, in our careers. But
you don't think Virginie Rizzano is a journey woman? First round French Open?
Too soon, Max. Too soon.
Oh my gosh. Can we just have a podcast of like matches that Serena has lost?
Journey women podcast.
Literally, that would make me cry.
I'm into it. Coming next week. Let's do that. But yeah, no, I thought Cornet beating Swiatek for me was definitely the highlight. I was so happy for her. Oh my gosh. Like the turnaround that Cornet has had over the past couple of seasons is just, for me, one of the biggest turnarounds. Like I'm so happy for her. And I'm such a fan of her right now. And I love getting to know her. And so, yeah, I'm a huge Cornet fan. And then for me, Badosa beating Kvitova was like really gut-wrenching because I really wanted Petra to kind of get through this draw. I thought maybe this was one of the last chances she was going to really have. So those were my two kind of highlights. I was surprised that Badosa won that match. Surprised, but not surprised, I guess. But yeah.
When it comes to the men's side, though, I will say that round with the Tsitsipas-Kyrgios match, if we can just touch on that real quickly.
Oh, let's talk about that. Not quickly. That was one of the matches of the tournament. I mean, that was a great match. What did you think, Jonah? Did you think there would be fireworks with those two anyway? I thought they got along.
Absolutely. I think that every time that they play, Nick knows he can get to Stefanos' head. And that's why he has a positive head-to-head against Stefanos, despite Stefanos' higher ranking. It was really also eye-opening seeing Stefanos' comments after the match, calling Kyrgios a bully, saying that he was probably a bully in school in his younger years, and just kind of goes to show how interesting of a dynamic it is, especially when Kyrgios is like, oh, I'm close with his brother, and also no one in the tour really likes him that much, so whatever.
I love when the boys are brattier than the girls. Like, that is my favorite vibe in tennis. Women in life, like, have awful sexist things said about them. But men can be just as bratty, if not more. And it was like, it was just such a brat fest, you know? That's all the tennis was great for sure. But, like, they give this vibe of, you know, they're both too cool for school. I mean, I think Nick does that better than Tsitsipas, but it was, you know, I didn't really care who won. I just wanted to see a good match. I mean, Nick really got under his skin. So,
I mean, you know what a huge fan of women's tennis I am, but that match was one of my favorites. I mean, when you have Tsitsipas trying to nail Nick Kyrgios at the net, like, blatantly, and, you know, he's firing balls outside, getting code violations, like...
Yeah, oh my God, the underhand. That was an interesting point, though, because who is the guy that basically got defaulted? Was it Davidovich Fokina, who hit the ball on match point, or, like, the point before match point, and then ended up losing the match?
In the second round, after having a big upset in the first round against Urkacz, so...
I don't know. It was just... That match pretty much had everything. Underhanded serves.
Yeah, that was wild. But, I mean, the audacity to hit the ball, like, try to peg your opponent, and then you lose the match. Like, wow.
He called him in the interview. Tsitsipas called Kyrgios evil. So many things to talk about, I guess, today. I mean, we're only on the third round, but this Kyrgios Novak final, I don't know, guys. Yeah. Let's go to the fourth round. Fourth round, I mean, we're talking, you're making the second week of Wimbledon. You know, you're not getting the points, but you're getting a great paycheck and you're getting the accolade. So for me, I'll start us off. Tatiana Maria, again, we mentioned her earlier. Sorry, Tati, no points, but you got two cute kids. So beating Ostapenko in the fourth round, really career-defining moment for her. Really, really was. So I thought that was really great. Ayla beating Cornet was an upset for me too. And I applauded Ayla. I know that there was some controversy in her press conference about being asked about Nick Kyrgios as well. And yeah, I always think she handles herself so well. She definitely has the potential to be a star as well. You know, it could have been the Ayla Tomjanovic Wimbledon show. You know, it's just, I'm waiting for that breakthrough from her too. So that was nice for her to get back to the quarterfinals. Max, what'd you think? What were your fourth round highlights?
I was pretty shocked that Halep totally bonked Badosa in the fourth round, because Badosa had just beaten Kvitova, who was playing decently well. And, like, you know, I mean, maybe Badosa's not great on grass, that's fine, but you don't usually get a 1-2 out of her. She usually puts up a really strong fight, so that was surprising. Clearly I was wrong. I thought that little blonde Dutch guy was gonna actually take out Novak. He's playing such fearless tennis, and let's let this guy beat Novak. That'd be great. I mean, he took a set, so good for him, but I thought, and he plays very fearlessly. I was hoping for five. I was hoping for an upset. Didn't get it, but it was a decent match.
I mean, I love it. I love that you didn't even attempt it. Neither am I right now.
Baltic van der Zandschulp.
That was very, I believe that was right.
Love it. That's it. And the other one is Tim
van Rithoven.
Okay. There we go. Well done to both of them. Yes. What a great grass court season they've had. And Dutch men's tennis. I mean, I remember Paul Haarhuis, and, you know, I remember Robin Haase and all these great players, Krejcik. I mean, we've had decades without a really great men's Dutch player. So, you know, I'm cool. I'm cool with the weird names. I like it. I'll learn it. I'll definitely learn it. You know, I've been saying Rybakina or Rabakina for, you know, for like 3 years now. So I better learn that, right?
It's Rybakina, right? That's how it is. Yeah. Okay.
Whatever Chris Evert says, that's what I just... Jonah, what was your fourth round highlight?
So for me, the fourth round match I was most excited for, and the one that delivered the most, was Ons playing against Elise in the fourth round. You could just sense the tension. I mean, the draw cleared for both of them. So if they made it past that round, they would have to play someone that was definitely not seeded. So it was a huge opportunity for both. And you could just sense the tension off of every single point. And such a close score line, 7-6, 6-4, first set tiebreaker score, 11-9. You just knew that the winner of that match was going to go pretty far.
Yeah. And didn't Elise Mertens continue her streak of third round Grand Slams? She's at, I don't know, it's probably something crazy right now. It's been like 3 years without having to lose in the first or second round of a Grand Slam. Good for her. Great for her.
Good for her.
And then that paired with Fournier, who's, you know, played every Grand Slam for basically since the year I was born. So like,
it's a lot of consistency on the WTA. Right. I don't care what anyone says.
There is.
Harmony Tan getting to the fourth round. I mean, I know she lost that match to Anisimova, but I mean, good for her. I loved that she backed it up, though. Honestly, you did not want to see,
agreed,
you know, the Goat Slayer.
If she had lost to Katie Bolter or whoever she played afterwards, that would, I mean,
Sarah Cerebus Tormo.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. So she had another upset. Totally. So that's impressive. Yeah,
exactly. So good for her. Again, I think I told you she was taking a nap before that Serena match, like right next to me. Had no idea it was her. I'm just sitting there watching, and all of a sudden her mom came to wake her up, and yeah, right before the match. And I was like, okay, great. She's rested. She's going to be super tired for this match, but no, it helped, I guess. Also, we talked about it earlier, Heather Watson getting the fourth round. Good for her. High fives to Heather. So head Watts. It's quarters time, making the quarterfinals of Wimbledon. I mean, that's a big deal. It really is a big deal. So Jonah, take us through, what was your big quarterfinal match that impressed you the most this year?
Honestly, I really love Tatiana Maria versus Jule Niemeyer.
You did?
Oh my gosh. It was 7-5 in the third. It was the highest quality match out of all four quarterfinals, in my opinion. And it was going to be a huge opportunity. And come on, I'm a mom of two. How could you not want her to just win the whole thing?
Yeah, 100%. I'm going with Nadal and Fritz. I thought that match was such high caliber. I mean, it had me on the seat of my pants. I'm freaking out. Like, Taylor's playing so well. I mean, his Indian Wells run was so inspiring. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, this is it. Like, Taylor's it. And he's a likable American. You know, it's like somebody you can actually think about, oh, okay, if he wins this match, I actually want him to win this tournament. Good for him. But so that was definitely mine. Max, what was yours? What was your big quarters?
Those were my two. I mean, I think I'm a Tatiana Maria fan forever now. I just loved seeing, and she was like emotive. You know, sometimes German players get a little bit of a, you know, Steffi Graf reputation for being robotic on the court. She was emotive, and you could tell she was really playing from the heart, and I loved it. I loved the slicing and dicing. So I was really happy for her. And then we've seen Rafa do this so many times. Like, you can tell he's like not playing his best, but it's just all in his head. He's like, I'm going to win this match, and I'm just going to blow you off the court. It doesn't matter if my body's falling apart. I'm just going to do it. And I do, I mean, he has done that before, so clearly that's not, you know, new for him. But I do kind of wonder, just because I'm shady and petty, I wonder if he had a little bit more motivation to beat Fritz, because the last time they played was in the final of Indian Wells, and Fritz got him because he was injured, quite frankly. He was probably just like, no, this is not happening again. This guy's not getting lucky against me again. Like, I'm going all the way. And then Fritz must have been pissed. I mean, to have him pull out from the next match, because Fritz for sure could have given Kyrgios a run for his money. So, oh, I mean, that was wild.
That match had so much too. You had Nadal's box, like, telling him to stop. It was inspiring from Nadal. I'm a big Federer fan. I love Nadal as well. And these are the moments that you just have to hold on to. I mean, you just never know when your favorites are going to go away or when they're going to come back, like Serena did. But it's really great to see him still playing some great tennis. And I really hope that he has a great hardcourt season. Have no idea what's going on with him. But, you know, thanks, Rafa, for playing your heart out and showing little boys and little girls everywhere what it means to be like a true warrior on the court and never giving up. So, you know, Rafa forever, for sure. One thing I do want to say as well in the quarters, I did love Goffin moment too. I did love that he got to the quarters. He beat Tiafoe in a really great fourth round match. Hated that. You know, I wanted Francis to kind of capitalize on that draw, but I do love me an oldie, and Goffin's, you know, he's had not a great couple seasons. So it was really nice to have him kind of come back and make the quarters here at Wimbledon. Let's go on to the semis. Max, what was your semifinal? What was your big semi moment?
Well, we were deprived of one, which was obviously sad. We didn't get the Rafa Kyrgios matchup. I mean, I guess it was impressive that Cam Norrie took a set from Novak. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm kind of sometimes underwhelmed by his tennis, not because it's not at a high level, but he just has a very weird style of play that it's like, it's choppy and just strange to like awkward to look at, but kudos to him for taking a set. Obviously to see Ons Jabeur play the way she did, I actually love that she dropped the set because it validated Maria being there and like her, the way she had played that whole, you know, last 10 days, the way you could see Ons just turn it back on in that third set, like mentally, physically, her style of play. I mean, everything was just working and it was so great to see. And I really thought after she brought it back 6-1 or 5-5 love or whatever it was in the third set, I really, that made me think she could win the final. Obviously I was wrong, but she just played so well in that match and it was passion and it was great. So kudos to her and was so happy for her to make history in that final today.
Oh yeah. Jonah, what was your highlight?
I actually loved the Rybakina-Halep match. I was watching it and really just thought, I did not see how Rybakina could lose the entire tournament, given how flawless she was playing against Halep. Watching Mouratoglou look a little worried in the stands was kind of a highlight too, not gonna lie. But
yeah,
at the same time, I have a lot of respect for Halep, but was definitely bummed for her. She definitely worked really hard. I was kind of shocked to not see her start off the tournament on center court in her first round, given how she was the champion 3 years back. But at the same time, was a great showing from her to get to the semis.
Yeah, good for her. I'm going to go with ladies doubles. I'm going to give it to, I love the semifinal with Desiree Krawcik and Danielle Collins getting to the semifinals of Wimbledon. And I know Desiree, she won another mixed title. She's like the mixed champion of Grand Slam tennis right now. She's like, if we had mixed doubles rankings, she'd be number one for sure. But I love that Danielle, she didn't have a great first round. We haven't seen her much on the grass court season after the French. She's been on and off, and it was great to see her and actually having fun on the doubles court. So really, really fun. And another great college player, like you said, Cam Norrie. I forget that he played college tennis. You know, that's great. I mean, this is some really great, great stuff. So that was my semifinal. And then you said it yourself, Max, you know, you thought that Ons kind of turned it up into that semifinal against Maria in that third set. I thought that's what was going to happen today in the third set. I thought for sure Ons wanted it even more because I just couldn't read Elena's face. You know, I just couldn't tell if she was nervous or if she wanted it or if she was excited. And you could see it on Ons' face and you could tell how much she wanted it. So super happy that Ons got to the finals. It's a great moment for Kazakhstan and also for Tunisia. Both those countries, I'm sure boys and girls everywhere were watching today so proud and picking up tennis rackets for the first time at the store and parents buying them rackets. And maybe we'll see a whole new generation of players from those countries. So yeah, the final today, well done. I thought very interesting. Elena Rybakina played some great tennis the past 2 weeks, as did Ons. And it's good to have another Grand Slam champion in the mix. I mean, she's a young player. We have a lot of Grand Slam champions now playing high-level tennis. So it's going to be an interesting hardcourt season to see, you know, if Kenin's coming back and if Andreescu is going to, you know, start playing some great tennis again. So, and we'll see what Serena does too. You know, if Serena's really serious about this and we saw the flashes with her. So really happy. And I do want to get your take really on a Russian player winning Wimbledon. I know this is so controversial. And, you know, this whole tournament started, we were marred with this discrimination. You know, you have players that weren't allowed to compete in Wimbledon this year because of where they were born. And then you have a player who was born in Russia who ends up winning the tournament, a little egg on the face for the All England club, for sure. Really interesting to see how this plays out and to see what happens in the world and the climate, I guess. You know, this is bigger than just tennis for sure. But I was listening to her press conference and she definitely has a great PR team because she was definitely bobbing and weaving through a lot of those questions in the press conference about Putin and about where does she live. And she says she lives on tour. The tour is her home. You know, she travels all around. So that's where she lives. You know, so I was like, okay, you know, let's be positive in this moment. She just won Wimbledon. So, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions coming up.
Definitely. And I almost kind of felt for her a little bit because Wimbledon is the one that put her in this odd position. Like, she's just playing, right? She's like, okay, I can play in Wimbledon even though I'm Russian, but playing for Kazakhstan, great, I will, and I'll win it. And now she's like having to sort of answer these odd questions that, well, they banned Russian players, but you're kind of Russian, so what's the deal? Listen, she seems like a nice girl. I'm sure she didn't want to put her foot in her mouth, so good on her for doing the bobbing and weaving. But I think ultimately, I didn't necessarily disagree at first with Wimbledon's decision to not allow Russian and Belarusian players, because in the same way that the WTA pulled out of China, you know, because of Peng Shuai, like, I think it's important to elevate. Sports aren't ever just sports, right? Everything is inherently political, especially in today's world. So, you know, I understand why they did it, but it turned into a hot mess and definitely egg on their face to have a basically Russian player in the end win. Yikes. It was a mess.
We won't really see the end of this for another, at least until next year. You know, when these points, we don't have a legitimate ranking system right now. I mean, we have players that really should be number six in the world and they're 26. You know, we're going to remember this Fortnite for a very long time, at least in my eyes, you know, with the Russian scandal, with Kyrgios, a very interesting Wimbledon to me. Jonah, what were your thoughts on Rybakina and Jabeur?
For me, sports is always just about uniting people. And to hear that wasn't really the case to start out with really felt like this was not going to be a typical Wimbledon like previous years past. I mean, that being said, after going through the 2 weeks of the slam, it's really clear that a slam is a slam to me. And it's still able to unite people. I mean, we were one set away from having two champions from the continent of Africa be slam champs because you had someone from Kenya win the girls doubles. And it was remarkable to me. And that's something that's able to inspire. And that's what sports are. And I mean, for me, I personally hope that there is a ban from players that represent a certain country again, but it's not up to me.
Do we think that there'll be an asterisk for this tournament with Elena winning her first Grand Slam? Or are we going to look back in the next couple of years and say, oh, you know, it really didn't count? Do we feel that way at all?
I don't think so. I think it'll be looked back upon in the same way that we look back on that weird French Open that was moved to a different time because of COVID. Like, it was a little different. Maybe there's a very small asterisk specifically because people weren't allowed to play and that changed the way the draw and points and whatever. But no, she won it. She won it fair and square. And she, like Jonah said earlier, she had a hard draw. She had a harder draw than Ons, you know?
Exactly.
And maybe the fact that she beat Andreescu, who has the versatility, not the similar style as Jabeur, but the versatility of her game, maybe that gave her an edge and that's why she was able to stick through it. But no, I mean, I think she crushed Wimbledon and she's a slam champ in her own right.
Well, I'm excited for her. I think it's great to have two more Grand Slam champions, maybe two new finalists at least, you know, that are in the mix here. As we turn to the men's final with Nick, I mean, are we ever going to not hear the end of this? I mean, he'll be a Wimbledon finalist for the rest of his career. We're going to have Nick in our forefront, in our minds, and in our social media feeds and just...
And don't forget, he won the Australian Open doubles.
He did. And when he goes back to Australia, he'll also be facing charges for his... I think it's an assault charge, right? So yeah, it's just an interesting time for men's tennis and it continues to be very, very interesting, I would say, and not in a good way.
All I'm going to say is the part that I'm most excited about is Krejcikova getting her ninth slam. So
I was on the practice court and it was Siniakova and Jill Teichman practicing and I'm watching them play and they go to the net and Teichman says to Siniakova, who are you playing doubles with? And she says, who do you think? And I just laughed and she goes, oh, going for another Grand Slam. And she's like, absolutely. And I was like, that's the kind of the WTA conversations I want to hear. Like that was exactly, I was right in the right place at the right time for that conversation.
Put that in the book.
Right.
I was right there. I was like, yeah, you know, so he's like, who do you think I'm going to play with? I'm going for my ninth slam. Of course I'm going to play with Barbara. So I thought it was really funny. Obviously fantastic Wimbledon. You know, it had everything that we wanted, maybe not everything, you know, but definitely some cool highlights. We're moving on to the hard court season. We have so much to talk about this summer. I mean, guys, we have a lot on our plates coming up. It's a jam-packed schedule. What are we most looking forward to? Are we resetting now? Are we thinking that, you know, Serena has a play in the summer hard court season? Is it going to be, I don't know, is Coco Gauff going to win the US Open? What do we think?
If like every time the Williams sisters step on the court, it's a privilege. So I'm not going to make a prediction about whether they're back, whether they're going to win. I would love to see them play. I want to see them keep having fun. I think they're the greatest that has ever happened to the sport. The thing that I will say in terms of who's going to win, at least on the women's side, is I think we don't know. I think it's probably going to be a brand new person. I'd love for it to be Coco. I will pretty confidently say it's not going to be Emma Raducanu backing up her first title. No shade, but she hasn't had the results yet. But I don't know. I mean, it could be Jess Pegula, you know? I would not be shocked if Jess Pegula came out and won some US Open Series titles and maybe even the whole thing. I mean, it could be Anisimova, you know? It could literally be anyone. And that's exciting.
It is. Jonah, who are we putting our pennies on? Who are you thinking?
I'm going to have to go with Iga. I see Iga dominating like how she did on the hard courts before the clay season this year. I think she's one of only four or five women to get the Sunshine Double, which for me is probably the toughest thing to do throughout the whole year. It's one of the toughest things. So to have that confidence going into the hardcourt season is probably huge for her.
Well, guys, I mean, I agree with both of you, but you know, who knows? Maybe we've had this consistency that I've kind of gotten used to with Iga, you know, all of a sudden out in the third round. So, you know, who knows? We're going to see. That's our show today, guys. I thank you so much, Max, Jonah. Always a pleasure. I appreciate it so, so much. One more shout out. Obviously, Kristen Flipkins, thank you. Great career. You know, her last match on tour, I hate when people retire. I have problems saying goodbye. Like right now, I'm going to keep just, you know, I want to prolong this show because I don't want to go. But we all have to say goodbye sometimes, right? Thanks for listening, guys. I'm John Garica, and this has been fantastic.